As I was trying to determine what to bring for this message, I thought back to a message I had previously preached on Joshua 1, verse 9, and thinking on that and some of the things that came from that, I've chosen to bring this message to you and seek to give you encouragement in it. We'll be looking at three verses today. First, Joshua 1, verse 7, and then we will be flipping back to Deuteronomy 31, and then coming back to Joshua 1, verse 18. In all three verses, we have these words, "Be strong and of good courage." First, God speaking to Joshua, then looking at Deuteronomy 31, Moses speaking to Joshua, and finally, the people speaking to Joshua. And I believe that these words are very applicable and can bring us much encouragement in the times that we find ourselves in. First, let us look at Joshua 1, verse 7. It was just read to us, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." From verse 6 to verse 9, God speaks these words to Joshua three times. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Might think it's a little bit of overkill, but God knew what lay ahead for Joshua and the people of Israel. God knew what Joshua needed to hear. So, verse 7, in the second time he says it to Joshua, he says, "Be strong and very courageous, but unto what end? That he will keep the law of God, that he would not turn to the right or to the left." That requires strength and courage. It required strength and courage for Joshua in his day as the leader of the people of Israel, and it requires strength and courage for us in 2022. You see, recorded in the book of Judges, that following Joshua and Caleb, godly leaders, godly men who were committed to keeping the law of God, how quickly the nation of Israel turned the right and to the left, to serve idols, to serve the gods of the nations all around them. When there wasn't one who was committed to holding the line, how quickly did the people fall away? There's much I could say here in regards to resisting the temptations of the world, but today I want to direct our focus slightly different direction. We are gathered here today, and there are a few of us here. We're not in some auditorium filled with 100 or hundreds or thousands. There are a few. There are churches in Syracuse, and I'm sure the same is true for Rochester, where hundreds will come every Sunday. In some cases, they have multiple services to accommodate first one group and then a second group. I know that it is hard to be in a small church. It is reality for our church. I know it is the reality here, and I know it is the reality in a number of our churches. And there is a list of doctrines. There's a list of truths. There's a list of things which God commands us that if we set one or another aside, would likely attract several more. Could possibly fill this auditorium. And I know that there are many who have been in our churches, who have grown up in our churches. The question, is it really that important? Do we really have to be this diligent? What is wrong with X or Y? We are bound to hold the truths and the duty that the Word of God sets before us. Does it really matter how we conduct our worship service? Does it really matter if we hold to the perpetuity of the Sabbath? Does it really matter? Thus says the Lord. It matters. We do not hold these things because a previous generation held to them. We do not hold to these things out of traditions of men. We do not hold to these things because we are stuck in some antiquated past that appeals to us. We hold to them because this is what we believe the Bible teaches us and commands us and requires of us. Never let the appeal of an easier way draw you to violate conscience or turn you from that which God has commanded. I confess that at least personally for me, there's those times where the thought has occurred to me that it would be easier to go to that church down the road that by and large teaches most of what we believe. Yes, they've compromised on X or Y, but it'd be so much easier to just go in and sit down and hear the preaching and get up and leave and not bear the burdens of being a small church. You see, I know that when you're a small church, you look around and you can't just take the approach, well, somebody else will do it. God has put us in the churches that He has. He has called us to be members of the bodies of believers that He has. Our duty, our obligation is to seek to serve God in the places He has put us in. Don't let what is easy sway you. Don't let what everyone else is doing sway you. Listen, we who are parents, we cannot let what our children want sway us. If our children want a church that has a gym or a youth group or this activity or that activity that appeals to them, but that church is not faithful to the Word of God, that must not sway us. We must be strong and courageous that we will do all the law of God requires of us. Now, secondly, let me have you turn back a couple pages probably in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, look at verses 7 and 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." From these verses, let me encourage you to regularly be encouraging and exhorting one another to press on. We have Moses here at the end of his life. He is handing the reins over to Joshua. He has fought the good fight. He has finished the race. Joshua would be leading the people off to war to take the promised land. Moses had stood where Joshua now stood years before, and the people had rejected entrance into the promised land. They refused to heed the word of the Lord. Moses had suffered much at the hands of these people. What does he say to Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. There will be those times in our lives, both as individuals and a church, where we are confronted with a great hardship, or we know of one who is dealing with a great hardship. I believe that many of our churches, many of God's churches, have endured such a time over the last couple of years. Let us take this passage and remember the need to encourage one another. In the case of Moses and Joshua, it was the older encouraging the younger. But just because you are younger or new to the faith doesn't mean that you cannot provide encouragement and exhortation to those who are older. The younger ones, youth and passion and energy, and can it provide real encouragement to those that are older. They can remind those who are older of the truths that they know to be true, but are benefited by hearing again. And those who are older, you here who have many experiences, many battle scars, can provide wisdom and direction and encouragement to those who are younger, speaking of those previous times of trouble and trial and God's great faithfulness through it all, and help dispel despair when there's discouragement on every side. Now, Moses doesn't just say, be strong and of good courage. He says in verse 8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. When those discouragements and trials come, what a wonderful truth it is to hear the Lord. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. Our God will never leave us, no matter how great the trial is. Therefore, be strong and of good courage. See, this differs greatly from the world. The world says, think positive thoughts and good things will happen. Those words are hollow, baseless. These words, though, be strong and of good courage, are wonderful because we can plant our feet on the rock of our salvation. We can plant our feet in our God who has promised that he will be with us. We could spend hours looking at one verse after another that contains such wonderful promises, peace that surpasses understanding. Some of those same things we've already seen in John chapter 14. The Bible is full of the promises of our God to we, his people. One final observation on this point. We make a conscious effort and are focused on encouraging and exhorting our brethren. It will lead to a spirit of love and unity. We are focused on what our brother or sister is struggling with, and how we can best minister to them. It is a selfless attitude that is focused on others instead of ourselves. And that is the very essence of love. Seeking to give yourself for the church. This is exactly what we see, the example that Christ gave to us in the upper room. He was hours away from enduring the greatest trial and torment any man had ever endured. Yet what was his focus? His focus was on the encouragement of his disciples, preparing them in light of what they would soon experience. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us. Now finally, let me conclude by making application from Joshua 1, verse 18. Flip back to Joshua 1, verse 18. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And I apologize, I intended to start, pick up in verse 16. These are the people of Israel. It says, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. And verse 18, which we read, concludes with, only be strong and of good courage. Here we have the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, speaking to Joshua as he began his leadership of them. Think what these words must have meant to Joshua. Think how these words must have encouraged Joshua to hear the people join together an exhortation for him to follow God's commands, for him to lead them as God would have him lead them. And this encouragement that he be strong and courageous. I can easily imagine that when Joshua stepped before those people after Moses had died, he must have wondered what he would face. These are the same people who had sought on a couple of different occasions to question Moses as the rightful leader, if not worse. Joshua was new. Yes, he had been along Moses' side, but here he takes the leadership and he hears, only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Only be strong and of good courage. So my final exhortation to you today is follow the example of the people of Israel and exhort and encourage your pastor. Your pastor bears a burden and has great responsibility. He will face false accusations, and those have an impact, especially when they're cumulative, even if they're baseless. Faithful men that God has called to pastor his churches have a responsibility to carefully and accurately handle God's word with great care and diligence. They are obligated to speak the truth even when they know that when a certain one hears what they have to say, there will be trouble. Our pastors need our prayers. Our pastors need to hear, be strong and courageous. An exhortation to proclaim the truth, even though there will be things that are hard to hear. even though there will be those messages that hit an area of sin that we would really not want to deal with. Let us not be those that would have our ears scratched, but those that desire to hear the truth of the Word of God. Along with this, let me encourage you to talk to your pastors. God has given him to you. God has given us pastors for our good. If you are encouraged by something, talk to him. If you have been convicted in something, talk to him. If you're struggling with something, talk to him. Proverbs says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. We as Christians must not isolate ourselves, and God has given us pastors to help guide and direct us. They are under shepherds. Faithful, godly pastor is not a perfect man. He's not even super Christian. He is one that loves his church and pours himself out for it. But as a man, he also needs encouragement, just like the rest of us. And additionally, I would note that if we maintain a close relationship with our pastors, a relationship where there is regular dialogue, that will lend to an environment where it is easier to have difficult conversations. Difficult conversations must occur. If there is something that is said that there is confusion or perhaps even offense caused, it is easier to say, help me understand, because this is how I took it, as opposed to an environment where there is not the communication and resentment and bitterness may foster. There may be times where we have to apologize for our attitudes or acknowledge that we were wrong. There may be times where our pastor has to apologize. There may be times where there will ultimately end up being a disagreement in what we see in the scriptures. But if we have a heart attitude of love one for another, let it be an attitude where we can both say that we have searched the scriptures, and we are convicted of what we are based on what we see in the scriptures, and with prayer that God will help us to rightfully understand it. But ultimately, that we are able to continue in a peace, heart of peace and unity. There are many other applications that we could draw from these verses. Multiple applications that could be made for pastors. I've spoken of how we can encourage our pastors. But there's multiple applications of these words to pastors as they seek to lead us. There's applications to we who are men in leading our households. There's applications to we who are parents in leading our children. We need to be strong and courageous in our witness to the world and proclaiming the gospel. I could go on. I pray that these three words of encouragement and application that we have looked at today provided encouragement to you. In preparing this, I found much encouragement from these things, found much by way that I have to work on. But I pray that we will all hear these words and that we will be strong and of good courage. I briefly want to note, though, that if you are here, you are unconverted. Maybe you have heard these things and thinking, well, that sounds like a lot of work and Sounds like there may be times where it's just not going to be too fun. But I would have you turn back to Deuteronomy 31 again. Deuteronomy 31, we'll read verses 16 through 18 here as we close. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers. And this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, and that they have turned to other gods. Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." There's two options. There is this bleak, dark picture which God paints for those who reject him, those who serve other gods. If you do not serve the God of heaven, you are serving other gods. And he says that his anger shall be aroused against you, that he will hide his face from you. Many evils and troubles will befall you. It's not a pretty picture. It's definitely not an easy way. You have to choose between that, or you can have the promise of Joshua 1:9. The Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Returning to our message this morning, repent and believe. Well, again, I would just close. My brethren, be strong and very courageous. Times we are in, the things that we have dealt with, the disappointments and discouragements we have endured are hard. But don't give up. Don't compromise. Encourage one another. Encourage your pastor. Let us echo the words of Luther. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Lord, we come before you this day and we thank you for the opportunity to have gathered with your people. And our Lord, we thank you that you have promised where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be. And our Lord, we pray that as we trust you have met with us this day, that your Spirit will apply all that we have seen. And our Lord, that those things that I've spoken that are not perfectly in accord or perfect application of your word, that they will fall away. But the truth that has been preached this day, the truth that we have seen in your word, will bear much fruit, that it will take root in our hearts. Our Lord, we would pray that you might be with us and encourage us and strengthen us in the way that we will go, the way that you have laid before us, our Lord, whether hard or easy, our trust is in you, our God. And we would pray that we might faithfully serve you all the days of our life and not turn to the left or to the right. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.